Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. For the last few minutes of the program today, Dr. Thomas von Hagel joins us. Yesterday, the church was remembering first century Bishop of Rome, Clement. You may not have heard about it, but it's quite true that barely out of the first century, here is a man who is carrying on the work of the apostles, although he himself is not an apostle, merely a bishop. What kind of a picture does Clement of Rome paint for us of the earliest Christians? Dr. Thomas von Hagel is Associate Professor of Theology at Concordia University, Chicago, author of the book One Lord, One Faith, One Baptism, Christians Through the Centuries. Dr. von Hagel, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
What kind of a picture does Clement, this very, very early Christian bishop, paint for us of life, at the very least, life in the Corinthian churches to whom he writes?
Clement was, as you said, a bishop of Rome, probably in the early 90s, and he writes one of the documents, a document that we have of his from around that kind of mid to late 90s. He writes a letter to the Christians in Corinth, and it appears that Corinth is, just one of those congregations that always has trouble. We still have them today, and back in Paul's day, they were trouble, from the beginning and throughout at various reasons, and then even in Clement's day, there was a group of members of the congregation that were harassing some of their church leaders and trying to force them to quit, and so depose them from office. And Clement writes this letter, and in it he notes that such a thing is absolutely ghastly in the eyes of God. It's one of the most horrendous sins in the church. All the way back in Moses' day, when they questioned whether or not Aaron should be high priest, and they took the rods and put them away, and Aaron's budded and provided fruit, and so that these problems have always been around the church, and they continue, but they certainly are unpleasing to God, and they also cause divisions in the church, and so he very harshly criticizes those who want to depose of their bishop for no really good theological reason.
In fact, I was reading through that short epistle that he wrote to the Corinthians, at least what we have left of it, and he seems to say you're driving away these he calls them elders or bishops. You're driving them away in spite of the fact that they've done nothing but be faithful to the call that Christ gave them.
Right. In terms of how the church was in those days, or the day of Moses, or today, for that matter, it really shows how times never change that much. Maybe the names and the places, but there's always going to be those divisions in the church. That, just like the prophets of old, when they preach the word of God faithfully, they're going to step on toes, and people are going to be uncomfortable with hearing the word of God, and so in his day as well, there were those that he doesn't give many precise details, but he certainly gives the impression that these are just faithful men who are preaching the word of God, and some don't like them and are trying to have them booted out.
How close to the time of the apostles do we find Clement of Rome?
Well, I say this epistle to the Corinthians is usually dated around 95 or 97, which is, from a Christian perspective, is rather exciting in terms of an early Christian document, because you have John the Apostle, he's writing his gospel and epistles and revelation, maybe in the first half of the 90s up to 95 or 96, and so, here's a document that's clearly Christian, and it's really running, very concurrent with some of the New Testament writings as well. And then Clement, we don't know the exact dates, but he was probably put into office at the end of the 80s or, you know, possibly beginning of the 90s, became Bishop of Rome. And so Peter, we're you know, somewhat certain that Peter was martyred in Rome in, you know, about the mid to late 60s. So we're, you know, talking, you know, 25 years after St. Peter is put to death in Rome. We have Clement, who's, if Peter was the first bishop of Rome, then Clement's thought to be probably the fourth. So he would have, tradition tells us that Clement knew Peter, and then if he would have known Peter, Paul would have been his contemporary there as well. So, I mean, even to be the bishop of Rome 25 years after Peter died, he probably wasn't installed into office when he was 26 or something. He would have, you know, been a somewhat mature man. So not only would he have been writing when the Apostle John was writing, but he probably would have known Peter and Paul, and different traditions tell us that he actually was, you know, a student of Peter and knew him.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, 10 more minutes with Dr. Thomas von Hagel, talking about first century Bishop of Rome, Clement. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned.
The sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
A lot of us across this country are really thankful to be hearing your voices again.
Dr. Albert Moeller, president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, with his thoughts on the return of Issues, Etc.
It's great to be with you guys on Issues, Etc. Welcome back. A lot of us across this country are really thankful to be hearing your voices again. It's always great to be with you guys.
We're talk radio for the thinking Christian, Issues, Etc. Listen live or on demand at www.issuesetc.org.
Evangelical and Catholic. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Admitting Failure.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
After years of pushing for embryonic stem cell research, which requires the destruction of a human embryo, some scientists are now admitting failure. According to the chairman of the UK National Stem Cell Network, quote, "We had a lot of hype about gene therapy, and while we still use it in some cases, it did not deliver the great promise we thought because of side effects." While the mainstream media generally refused to report on the failure of such therapy, pro-life groups have argued for a decade that unethical stem cell research held little promise for real treatment of diseases.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about first century Bishop of Rome, Clement, on this Monday afternoon, November the 24th. Dr. Thomas von Hagel is our guest. He's author of the book, One Lord, One Faith, One Baptism, Christians Through the Centuries. You can find out more about this great book on church history under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. You can also order One Faith, One Lord, One Baptism by calling Concordia Publishing House, their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, One Lord, One Faith, One Baptism, Christians Through the Centuries by Dr. Thomas von Hagel. It costs $8.50, plus shipping and handling, 1-800-325-3040. Dr. von Hagel, what did it mean to be a bishop in Rome in the first century? I mean, this is prior to the decriminalization of the Christian faith in the Roman Empire.
Correct. It's, I mean, there is some discussion among scholars in terms of, you know, were there multiple bishops, but it seems, you know, somewhat. I mean, to be the bishop of Rome simply meant that you had the responsibility of oversight over a variety of churches and other presbyters and deacons that are working in the churches. It's certainly not. To, you know, centuries later, we think of the Bishop of Rome who presides over all of Western, or at least, you know, initially Italy, and then all of Western Christianity, and then all of the pomp and circumstance that, you know, are later added on. So, you know, very early in the church, with the ascension of Christ and the death of the apostles, bishops simply preside over, you know, their local geographical areas, and they preach and administer the sacraments and responsible for teaching the Christian faith and that type of thing.
So he's dealing in particular with, at least in what's called his first epistle, I want to talk about whether or not we can attribute a second one to him as well a little bit later, but Clement is at pains to deal with this problem, but he's constantly quoting Scripture in this short writing, Old Testament, New Testament, Genesis, Exodus, even the book of Hebrews, which is an interesting quotation, is a lengthy quotation of that book as well.
Right. I mean, that's the something that, you know, very much in contemporary Christianity, we read the Bible occasionally. We, you know, quote a verse here and there, particularly in preaching. But, I mean, it's true very much throughout the Middle Ages and Reformation, and it's still also very true already in the early church that the Christians, and particularly the bishops, were so, you know, submerged themselves into the Word of God that whether they're writing epistles or preaching sermons or teaching or putting together a theological treatise, the Word of God just continually flows from their mouths and their pens as they seem to can't stop citing Scripture and using biblical terminology and ideas and such. And so, for example, we'd mentioned with the bishop who's in Corinth, who's about to be deposed, and so he, you know, quotes numerous examples from the Old Testament about with Aaron and Moses, as I had mentioned, or the fact that we are supposed to have bishops and deacons, and it's not only a New Testament phenomena, but it even been spoken of in the Old Testament as well. So, yeah, over and over, he's citing the Scriptures, and it's rather refreshing to hear such Christian writing.
He seems to have a view of the church, and here we don't want to, and I think you'd be good in guiding us this way, to anachronistically read our own ideas about what a bishop is today or at some point in church history back into the first century. But he seems to be at pains to say, look, this whole issue of who serves you with God's word, they are called of God, and this isn't something you made up. This is something that comes directly to us from the apostles and the Lord himself.
Right, yeah. The fact that we've had these offices in the church, they come from God, and the fact that the Father has sent the Son, and then the Son sent the apostles, and now the apostles have appointed these bishops, and you know that these offices are you know, God approved, but then also too he speaks of you know, how do these men get into office then? Well, you have the apostles, and then the bishops who appoint later bishops, and then you also have the church, which is working in conjunction with this. And something that in our modern church, you know, we kind of pass over a little bit in terms of that kind of individualism or congregationalism, where kind of every individual or little group can kind of do as they want. And the understanding in the day was that both God and the leaders and all of the church were involved in placing these men into office, and so they were to be understood as God's workers and to be treated with reverence that they deserved for their office.
We've been talking a lot about Clement through this writing that is more familiar to us, his epistle, or it's sometimes called his first epistle to the Corinthian church, but there is a second one floating around out there. Is it of more dubious quality?
Correct. It's It was often called Second Corinthians, you know, just like Paul's first and second letter to Corinthians. Most scholars now think it's more of a sermon than a letter or an epistle, and also it's a little more questionable whether or not it actually came from the pen of Clement or not. It's often thought to maybe be a little later. In terms of the style, I mean, they're both very biblical in extensive quotations of Scripture. In the second letter or this homily, it's certainly emphasis upon the living a devout Christian life and being holy before the Lord. One thing that I appreciate very much in the first sermon is, or in the first epistle, is that while Clement certainly does, you know, properly address living a Christian life and forsaking you know, all of the manifest sins of the world and vices, in his first epistle, he does just a magnificent job of pointing to Christ, you know, mentioning that we're saved by the blood of Christ, and that's you know, the value of faith. And he even quotes Isaiah 53 that we often use for Good Friday, that, you know, he bore our stripes and the like, and that he you know, speaks of the atonement, how Christ has borne our sins and received our punishment. And so, you know, just a wonderful proclamation of the gospel all the way back in the, you know, the mid 90s. So I guess I kind of, even though the second one is often called the homily, I see a lot of good homiletical tendencies already in the first letter, just writing good law and gospel in there.
Finally then, Dr. von Hagel, as the church ends yesterday remembering Clement of Rome from so long ago, what is the general value of remembering those who have gone before us in the faith and who faithfully proclaimed the gospel? About a minute before we have to wrap up.
Well, as Christian, and particularly as Lutherans, according to the Apology of the Augsburg Confession, you know, we can look to these people and see, as you had mentioned, that the church was under persecution at this time. Peter and Paul had been martyred, and ultimately Clement will be put to death, at least according to tradition. And so, you know, we can look at these Christians who, even in the face of death, we're willing to preach and teach the Christian faith in all faithfulness, and to see God working through such, vessels, clay vessels, to suit His purpose and to bring salvation to other people. So we can give thanks to God for giving us such faithful preachers and teachers, and preachers and teachers can imitate Clement and be faithful in their work, and all Christians as well, to look to Clement as one who is unwavering in his Christian confession and life and willing to suffer even death for the sake of Jesus and the gospel. So, and then, of course, reading early documents in the Christian church to see what exactly these first Christians were preaching and teaching, the first folks that were reading the New Testament and the Gospels, and how did they interpret it, and then how did they apply it to their Christian congregations. It's exciting on too many different fronts, I guess.
Dr. Thomas von Hagel is Associate Professor of Theology at Concordia University Chicago, author of the book One Lord, One Faith, One Baptism, Christians Through the Centuries. Dr. von Hagel, thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you for having me.
It's amazing, just remarkable to think back. People have a distorted view of that early church. They think it was some sort of largely dismembered, spontaneous, fly-by-night thing, and it really wasn't. Christ established through the preaching and writing of his apostles, through his word, a church that had, in many ways, the hallmarks, in every way, the hallmarks that the church still bears. Pure preaching of Christ and him crucified. Pure preaching of God's word and the sacraments that Christ left to his church to strengthen the church's faith until his return. And here's Clement, barely out of the generation of the apostles, writing something like this that many in the church today would do well to heed, having lost their way and gone astray into many fads and fashions. Clement writes, "We too, being called by his will in Christ Jesus, are not justified by our wisdom, understanding, godliness, or works, but by faith in the Almighty God who has justified all men." There's the gospel speaking straight out of the first century. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk to you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.